love you. Thank you for loving us first. We couldn't even love you back if you didn't do that. Lord, I pray that today as we take a look into your word again and as we see the power of forgiveness, we're never more like you, Jesus, than when we forgive people. We can love people, we can do kind things, Lord, but when we forgive people, we're like you. You came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's what the Bible tells us, and that was us. Paul even writes, and such were some of you, and he lists a big, long, lengthy list of some sinners. And Jesus, we used to be those people, and we would still be those people if not for the grace of God. So, Lord, I know all of us in here just need a encouraging, spirit-filled reminder today. And, Lord, if I can give that, if we can say that, if we can read that, Lord, you bless those that have come out today, and they're ready to hear from you, not me. So I pray, Lord, you'd speak to them. Speak to me. And Jesus, we do again lift up, whether it's lessons for children as Jenny does it, whether it's lessons for this week at camp, that some people will come to camp 1 week this summer. And Lord, I pray I wouldn't get in the way as we talk about the things that you want me to say to those kids. May people get saved this week. May they find you because you found them. And I pray, Jesus, again that we depend on you daily. That's why you taught the disciples, give us our daily bread. So, Jesus, here we are in need of you again. That's what a good Savior can fill all our heart's desires. Lord, you give us the desires of our heart, and that's because our desires are for you today. So, Jesus, we ask you to bless us. Truly reach down, grab us, hold us, heal us, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad you're here. I mentioned some things last week, and I'll again follow up. James is going to give you a Bible if you need one. We can just pray you want. So it's sort of like a follow-up from last week, and then it's a reminder of, some of you remember last week real well. Some of us have trouble remembering what we ate for breakfast half hour ago, but it's all right. This is such a unique time that we're in. God's gave us all a... He's given us some opportunities, and we sometimes don't know what to do with them because with the days that we have, it's so confusing. I mean, it's like I'm not even sure what we can depend on one day or not. Macy, who comes with Mark over there, and granddaughter, is that right, Mark? It's hard to believe Mark's a granddad. I know he looks like he's about 30. He got married when he was 12, though. So, you know, he is from Giles. So it's like, no, it's the thing about it. It is. We just finished a class, and I had 45 people on there. And if y'all don't know what Zoom is, anyway, it's a way for me to see you. It's a way for you to see me. And if you ever seen the Brady Bunch, y'all have seen that before. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, you got pictures, three pictures, and three, and there'd be Mike in the top corner and Carol and all that, and you get a picture of everybody. Well, imagine instead of 9 frames, I got 45 frames in front of me. Everybody looks like the pinky on you. You know, it's like, a matter of fact, I can't even see some people. We had to do that on, so I've had several people ask me just in the last couple of weeks, like, now, have you ever, do you know, have computer skills? And I'm thinking, well, I'm sure no, I'm not Chris Shepherd, but I mean, who is? Chris knows, Chris can write, can you write programs, computer programs and stuff? Now, Chris can write a program, and Mark can watch a program on TV. So, I mean, I'm with Mark. I'm not, if I had to design stuff, it'd be tough. But in this season, I've had to learn to use Zoom. And then we kicked that into where I use Google Classroom. You take all your tests online. I'd never used it before a few weeks ago. It is neat. It takes forever to put in place, but then it works. It grades all my tests for me, that is, if they take them. And now we're going to, now that I've got adapted, you'd appreciate this, Susan, now that I'm used to Google Classroom and do that, they're going to switch it to Canvas in the fall so we can use a totally new program. Are y'all sure you got this down? Absolutely. Then we're going to change it to what we call Canvas Virtual Virginia. And now we're going to do something totally different. So it's like, and we got word the other day that when school starts, we won't be able to get into Salem. Salem's being remodeled right now. So we won't be able to get in there 2 days before school starts, we're going in. So it's sort of like dropping behind the enemy lines, and you already got the battle right there before you. Matter of fact, just drop us into the battle. So it just seems like this summer that Well, it's adaptable. So I got to find some things that are unchanging. I got to find some truths. And I reminded you of this last week. When you grew up, as corny as I was in Giles, I grew up with, just before we'd eat, we had a big bench. Tim remembers this. We had a bench on one side. Of course, Tim sat on the other side of the table. I was sitting right, it's almost like I think back at an age. There's Daddy, Mama would just go down the line. But we had our Grandma Moser, Daddy's Mama, with us. And we had my Uncle Orville live with us. And Orville had hit his head when he was younger, as I understood. And mentally probably had some challenges. And so we were his family. It was a big deal. I taught Orville how to write his name one time. And he finally said, all right, O-R-V-I-L-L-E. I got that down. And so he could finally write it up. Until then, if you asked him to sign a check, what did he put? Y'all remember this? Yeah. Put an X on there, and that's all Orville could do. But Orville stayed with us, and Grandma Moser stayed with us. Grandma would bake bread sometimes. I thought somebody breaking in the house one night, 4:30 in the morning, going there and do-do-do, had a rolling pin out making bread. I'm thinking, come on, it's dark outside. But anyway, remember the Vienna sausage can that you had to open up the can opener? That was her biscuit maker. She'd put that in flour and cut that dough out. So I'm just thinking, I like to go back to those. People would think, oh, I feel sorry for it. Don't feel sorry for me. I love my childhood. I loved it. Go play in the creek, skip rocks. And I loved it. So I had some stability. I had, and every night before we went to bed, Daddy'd turn down the TV and say, let's read something from the Bible. Of course, if it was a program I liked and wanted to watch, I'd pick the Praise You the Lord, Praise You the Lord. All God's people, Praise You the Lord. All right, turn the TV back on. You know, it's like, that wasn't fair. Daddy's like, you want to read another one? Yeah, we didn't want to read those three-verse Psalms. I liked stability. So give me three things that can't change. And so when I think of growing up, I love those things. And when I got older, I knew I had a mom and daddy that loved me. They would go to bat for me. Mama had a secret weapon. That was prayer. Whenever I had a problem, she's like, God will take care of that. Can I just give you one instance of how God takes care of things? A fellow in Giles who lost his dad, Steve Steele, I think, 1 year older than us, in between Sharon and I. Steve Steele died in a smoke inhalation kind of thing, and I can remember, wow, it just broke the hearts, and the Steele family had to be like Steele. It just broke them. And I remember going to the funeral, and Vicki just about looking right through me, and that was, Vicki graduated with me, Vicki Ratliff. Her mom used to work there at the drugstore in Parrishburg. We'd go and get a Cherry Coke before you go to the Paris Theater movie right there. You know, there's my stability again. You know, I love simple things in life. But anyway, when Steve passed away, it was a tough time for the Steels, that's for sure. So not long after that, Brandon is going to get married. He says, would you sing a song at the funeral? Would you sing a song at my wedding now? I know you're at the funeral. He came out and gave me a big hug, whispered in my ear. He said, I guess you're my dad now. I never seen such a crowd in Parrishburg or in Pembroke Air for a funeral. But anyway, a couple months after that, Brandon said, would you sing a song at the funeral? I said, absolutely. At the wedding, excuse me, the funeral was such a tough thing. We need some joy. And I said, you tell me the song, I'll do it. And he said, Tracy Byrd's song, It Was No Accident, Me Finding You, and all that. I said, okay. I picked that song up, practiced it for a couple weeks, and did all that, and finally had that thing down and did it at his wedding. My sister Melanie wanted to get married a couple months after that, and she said, somebody was going to sing at the wedding, and they backed out. Would you do a song? And I said, absolutely. It'd be an honor. I don't have any idea what it is, and I know I'm only giving you about a month to prepare. I said, it's fine. What is it? She said, it's Tracy Byrd's song, It Was No Accident. And I went, really? It's the same song I'd already done. I later found this, and I'll try not to, because if I part too long on Mama memories, I cry. But Melanie told Mama one time, she said, I got this person who's going to sing a song. And Mama's like, she later told me, she said, I'd like Edgar to sing a song, but I don't need him to. Mom's like, okay. 2 months later, I sing the song. And Melanie now jokes, she says, Mama went above my head. And she looked at me like, well, I'd like him to sing the song. But I just want him to be there and enjoy. He's going to walk me down the aisle and be daddy that day anyway. And that's going to be tough enough. But it's like, Mom's like, I'd like him to sing the song. No, I got somebody. Okay. I don't know if Mama prayed that person sick or what. But it's like, All I know is when Melanie come back, she said, Mama started praying and she would go above my head on things, which is literally, aren't you glad you got a mama like that? Because when you get wayward like I was, Mama went above my head. And she said, you do what you have to do, but you got to get him back in line because he's going to be a preacher years from now. And you got to, okay. And I think he allowed my mama to be in a car wreck. And because Mama said, do whatever you have to do. She was a willing servant. How would you like to have prayer support like that? Well, I'll give you the three things, those kind of things that Mama just had. I still look in the Bible, and I won't, I'll give you some things that I feel like that's not quite from my childhood. That was when Tim graduated from high school. Y'all didn't know Tim's 107 years old. I mean, he graduated, and I was just going, Jackie DeShannon, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Of course, Dinah Warwick sang the same song and made it famous. The Beatles sang, all we need is love. Yeah, Elvis sang a hunk of burning love. Yeah, that's I guess that was it. And the OJs sing the love train, all aboard the love train. And you think of that, wasn't that simple times? That was when I graduated from high school. We wish it would. Isn't it odd? The good old days have now become the 70s and 80s. That's the thing that most people would complain about. Biggest thing we had to gripe about back in the 60s is the Beatles' haircut. Man, you look like a Beatle. Thank you. You know, I would have. We thought they were wild. So today's message is about several things today let's consider. And this is a little bit of review of the love that we just sang about, if you didn't get that from those songs. Forgiveness and freedom. So I reminded you last week, find something good in somebody. And if you can't, forgive them anyway. And again, I just try to see the things that are there. Is it easy to find in some people? Very easy. Others, you might have to search a little bit. I don't know if that was me long ago, too. It's like, oh, there's bound to be some good there. In John 8, chapter 31 through 36, we consider that love helps lead us to freedom and forgiveness, both to receive it and give it. He says we shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? The truth will set you free. And the truth, Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does hate lead us to do? Acts 17, we looked at that last week. These guys wouldn't remind me a little bit of today's time. They were having riots, and some of them said they were rioting, and we read those verses last week. Some of them were having a big demonstration to riot, didn't even know why they were there. They had just got talked into going to have a riot. Where you want to go today? Come on, where are we going? I don't know. You ever do that as a teen? Tell the truth. You did that, you know. Let's go riding. Where are we going? I don't know. Where did you ride? Just around the corner? Or did we call that cruising? Even in Giles, we used to have that, the Dairy Queen 500, I call it. Well, you know, we could sit there. Those of us who are eating the same car, we'd go around about 18 times. I'd show up at a Giles football game. I was trying to watch, and people would just walk the track, you know, the teenagers like this. Do y'all even know there's a game going on? No, they just wanted to walk. They got there to see and be seen. So where are we going? I don't know. Who's playing? I don't know. What are y'all riding about? I don't know. Just come on, bring a brick. You know, they just wanted to go through, and they tried to kill Paul. Didn't even know who he was, hardly. Went to get Paul. Paul was gone, so they dragged Jason, the guy out of his house, and beat him up. Hate is the get on board the hate train, you know. So it's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. It's not a hate. It's not a race problem. It's, I think, a hate problem. People just hate you. Matter of fact, hate is... It's not prejudice. It hates anybody. People get a hold of hate, they'll hate you. I'm Indian. I hate you. Black, hate you. I'm Asian. I hate you too, you know. And it's amazing that some people, it reminds me of the Andy Griffith episode when it wasn't the Hatfields and McCoys. They had a different feuding family on there. Like he's a Wakefield and a Carter. But they were fighting each other, and they didn't know why. Remember that Andy Griffith episode? They sat down and says, why do you dislike him? He says, because he's a Wakefield. Why do you dislike him? Because he's a Carter. Okay, but why? They didn't really have a reason. So they looked it up in the book and said, you know, there's nobody been killed for 100 years between these two families. So it's like, let the past go. Couldn't. Hatfields and McCoys grew up like in West Virginia. They just hate each other because, so just think, I could have been best friends. If I was a Hatfield, I could have been best friends with this guy until I knew he was a what? McCoy. Now I hate him. That's sad. The hate train gone wild here. It's like, what does hate lead you to do? Do things that you probably normally wouldn't. What has hate led people to do today? Consider the slippery slope that people take when they start in the direction of hate. What motivates them? Like an actor, where's my motivation? So what happens when we let love lead us and forgiveness. Let's look at two people listed below to find this answer. Edgar Harrell and Louis Zamperini. Here's two people that could have let hate control them. And instead, I met Edgar Harrell a few years ago, and Edgar Harrell got, he was on board the USS Indy, and about 1,297 people were sunk that day in a plane, 300 of them, 317 survived. Almost 1,200 people went down, only 300 survived. Wow. So three-fourths of the people died as soon as they hit that explosion or in the water. And Edgar Harrell, I showed you last week on page 177 of his book, he's hugging this little girl and just giving. That's the great-granddaughter of the person who sunk them. So the captain of the submarine who shot six torpedoes, four missed, two hit, first one hit the magazine, just blew the ship up. So he's forgiving. And that's why he's 96 years old right now, I think. He's not full of bitterness. He's full of love. How about the Japanese? Loves them. How do you do that? These people hate you. They tried to kill you. Louis Zamperini is the same thing. He was in the water for a long time. Now, this guy was in the open sea, open ocean there for about 5 or 6 days. No raft, no nothing. No raft, no anything. You're just floating in the water for 5 straight days. I couldn't float in a swimming pool for 5 days. I'd lose my mind. He's out there with sharks. He said they would get in a circle like this, and he said I could feel a shark bump me. And I asked him down there when I saw him, I got to ask, how in the world does that feel? And he said, I just prayed. And every once in a while, one of them would get about delirious and get away from the group, and he said we'd just see him, hear him scream and just be pulled down, and a shark, they'd come after that lone guy. And he said, so I've watched people die right in front of me just getting eaten by a shark. And I'm thinking, mentally, what would that do? So he says, we stayed in a circle and we prayed. And he said, we finally floated through the water one day and I saw this crate coming by. We hadn't eaten in about 3 days, 4 days. He said, it looked like the word potato on the cart, little crate. And he reached like, trembling hands. And he said, he just squeezed it and the potato came through his fingers. It was so mushy. Appetizing? What do you think? But he said, I knew it was a hard part in there. He said, I kept squeezing it until I finally got down to the hard part. Well, he ate about 2 or 3 of those. So 5 days, you've ate 3 marble-sized potatoes. And man, see, he just went from probably 200 to 119 or something, losing weight fast. Salt water, you can't eat the salt. He said, every time somebody would just give in to that temptation, they'd eat it, they'd go delirious, they'd turn around and try to fight us, thinking we were the Japanese. So they would lose their mind. So he said, I put up with that for a long time, and finally, he was rescued. Let me tell you the miracle how he was rescued. He said a plane went by, never turned around. We're just a little dot in the ocean. He said the plane would circle and came back through there. The man flying the plane says they had it looked like a fishing pole at the back with a red flag on the top. He said that thing was banging on the fuselage of the plane. And the pilot hollered back and says, stop that thing from banging the plane. It's about to drive me crazy. He swung open the door to tie this off, and he looked and saw him. Who banged that flag? Swing open this, and there's some people back there. Like, what? Circle back around. And they said, by all means, don't ever land it. He radioed back. He landed that plane. Of course, it was like a seaplane. Landed it and tried to bring those guys in there. Wow. Rescued. How about Louis Zamperini just beat up by a guy named the Bird? But he can tell his story better than I can. I've got a little video from the Billy Graham. This man was saved at a Billy Graham crusade. Watch this, please, and I'll show you Louis Zamperini's miraculous. Edgar Harrell met the man. I told him, I love you, man. It's a tough old. He said, oh, thanks for paying attention to this old Marine. Listen to Louis Zamperini's story, Chris, if you would. Bring it up. Louis Zamperini was tortured by a guy called the Bird. He had nightmares. He woke up one night trying to strangle his own wife, thinking that she was the Bird. Nicknamed him, and then she said, you got to do something. He became an alcoholic to try to forget all that stuff. And instead, God wouldn't had plans for him, so he gave him a task to do after he got a hold of him. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that the three things that we talked about, love and forginess and freedom, Louis Zamperini found those things. And Lord Jesus, we can do the same thing. When we love and we forgive, Jesus will find freedom. And he forgave the people that had tortured him. He forgave those that were that hated him. And at one time he hated. Lord, you freed him from that. So Lord, may we live up to the things that you tell us in the scripture. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And if we love you, Jesus, we'll keep your commandments. So you talk about love a lot, for God so loved the world. So Jesus, thanks for the encouragement to me that lives change and you can still change us. Even after we come to you, Lord, we need to drop baggage off that slows us down. And you tell us that in the Word, that to get rid of those things that so easily entangle us. So Lord, set us free today of things that would slow us down and instill in us a desire, a motivation, an inspiration. Lord, just a calling to follow you every day. Get up out of bed, desire to read, desire to pray, and cling to you. Because Lord, you're the solid thing. You're the stability that I talked about earlier. I grew up with so many things that gave me that stability and concrete foundation. And Jesus, you're my foundation. So when the world drifts and the world scares us and the world even confuses us, Lord, we go to the rock. I thank you that you are a steadfast rock. Encourage us today and bless us on your Lord's Day in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for being here today, and I went over, but I hope you were inspired by Louis Zamperini's story, all because of the Billy Graham crusade. Can you imagine that? I'll go, but I'm not going to listen. Yeah, God says he probably just smiled at that. All right, greet somebody before you take off.